This is Thanksgiving week. Hope you all had a lovely Thanksgiving. I was reading this book, Centuries, by Thomas Traherne. The reading that I came across as I was thinking about what I was going to talk about fits with Thanksgiving. I hesitate to read this to you because it is undiluted 1600s English. And I had to read it three times before I understood it. Traherne was an English poet and a clergyman and a theologian. This book was lost for several hundred years. And C.S. Lewis calls it the most beautiful thing ever written in English. But it's undiluted 1600s English, so it takes some work to read. But from the front flap, in Traherne's understanding, sin manifests itself primarily as the result of human ingratitude. In turn, a result of not properly beholding the creation, and he offered in its stead something far more healthy and far more biblical, the gift of transfigured vision. So I will read this, and as I say, I had to read it three times. So if you don't understand it right away, don't feel bad. Nobody else does either. So the misery of them who have and prize not differeth from theirs who prize and have not. The one are more odious and less sensible, more foolish and more vicious. The senses of the other are exceeding keen and quick upon them. Yet, are they not so foolish and odious as the former? So what he's talking about is people who have something and don't appreciate it versus people who don't have something and want it. So the misery of them who have and prize not are those that have stuff and don't value it. It differs from those who prize, which is to say who want stuff, but don't have it. And what he's saying is the ones who have stuff and don't appreciate it are odious, whereas the ones who don't have and are looking for stuff may be just ambitious, but they're not sinful. And I'm not going to keep reading this because it takes too long to parse. But the point he's making is that gratitude and appreciation for what you have is the foundation of leading a life that is reasonably free from sin. Because if you're the other way, you're never going to be free of it. It also shows up in our two readings today. The first one, of course, is Esau, who despised his birthright. That is ingratitude. He is not grateful both to God and to his parents for what was given him, didn't value it at all. So he shows up and he's hungry and his brother is making stew and he says, give me some stew. And his brother says, how about you sell me your birthright? Then I'll give you some stew. But birthright's not worth anything to me. I'm dying. I need some stew. And he sold him his birthright. So the deal there is the immediate overtook the eternal. So he was focused on the immediate. He was hungry. And in that, he neglected the thing that was of great value, which, of course, we see at the end of the reading today when his father doesn't have the blessing for him anymore. And that's when he realizes his folly. That's the first one. And then we get to the Malachi reading. And the Malachi reading is talking about the same thing. What you have is a priesthood that has become blasé. They are ungrateful. They regard all of this as simply a chore that they have to perform. And so they're sloughing off. Instead of being diligent about the things that they're just offering anything. And God says, you have despised me. Wait a minute, how have we despised you? We're doing all this stuff. Yeah, but you're not doing it with any gratitude. You are simply doing it by routine, and you have lost your enthusiasm and your love for me. And because of that, your performance of your duties has gone downhill. That all flows from a lack of gratitude. The Hebrew word for gratitude, by the way, is hakarat katov, which means literally recognizing the good. And we've talked about this lots of times in Musar. And the deal there is, in every circumstance, there is some good, but sometimes you got to look for it. You all know what I mean. And what God says via Paul is all things eventually work together for good. And so as you are going through your life and things happen to you that I can't think of a good reason why I should be grateful for this, you need to stop and think about it, and think about it eternally as opposed to temporally. I'm really hungry right now and I want some stew. Well, okay, that's fine, but what are you willing to give up for that stew? And that is temporal versus eternal. So gratitude, first off, it's good for you. I did a study a number of years ago of a group of novitiate nuns. Now, they had a squad of young ladies coming into the convent at the same time, and they did a survey. And they did the same survey after they had been there for something like 40 years. And what they discovered is those young ladies who were grateful by attitude, 40 years later, were healthier, happier, in all ways better off than those whose attitude was grumpy and they weren't grateful for stuff. So gratitude is, as I'm fond of saying, enlightened self-interest. Because if you develop the habit of gratefulness and looking into every situation and figuring out what the good is there, it will benefit you beyond your individual circumstances. It's also the antidote to envy, self-pity, malice, and covetousness. Ungrateful people are typically angry, envious, self-pitying, malicious, and covetous. By the way, has anybody looked at the news lately? How much anger is out there? How much self-pity is out there? I am in terrible shape, and you need to pay attention and pity me. It's the basis of a whole bunch of people's lives. And that flows directly from a lack of gratitude. They don't see anything to be grateful for. And so their attitude then spirals down, as Tom was saying, the pit just gets deeper and deeper because they keep digging. So it opens up the heart. The Hebrew for that is timtum halev, which means an open and giving heart. And in the Musar course, it's the second midot after humility. Humility is the first one. The reason humility is first is because humility teaches you to learn what you look like in God's eyes. That's the essence of humility. What do I look like in God's eyes? And then behave appropriately. Humility is not self-abasement. But the next one after that is gratitude. And one of the things that Kay and I routinely do, and I suggest you all do too, is when people ask us, how are you? And they're expecting sort of a perfunctory fine or whatever. You say, greatly blessed and beloved of God, actually. Look at you strangely. And that can be an expression of pride. The Pharisee, when he's standing there in the synagogue praying and the tax collector's off in the corner, that can be an expression of pride. It can also be an expression of gratitude. And the difference is, how do you mean it? And I've had people say, well, I'm not that good. And I said, you can be. It's possible. You can have this. So one of the things that is important to understand is there's no limit to what you lack. This is a very big universe, and there is no limit to what you lack. So you can always look around and find something that you don't have that you want, and if you choose, you can be grumpy about it. There's always that available to you. So as you go through life looking for reasons to be grumpy and envious and covetous, the opportunities to do that are just all over the place. There's a proverb that says that someone who loves money will never have enough. And what that obviously means is his focus is on money, and the fact that he doesn't have it all makes him ungrateful. Whereas the one who is grateful for what he has finds that he does have enough. The human psyche has trouble understanding that, which is why God had to write it down for us. If we could figure this out for ourselves, God wouldn't have written it down. So gratitude then becomes the thing that makes you satisfied and peaceful in your lot. Now, don't get me wrong. There is nothing wrong with ambition. Ambition is perfectly acceptable. So if you decide, you know, I would really like to drive a better car, and you go out and get off your blessed assurance and get to work and earn the money for a new car, there's nothing wrong with that. That is very healthy. The problem is when you look at your neighbor who has the car that you want and says, how come he's got it and I don't? Then it becomes a problem. Same car, but one is a vehicle for covetousness and envy. The other one is a vehicle you can be grateful once you've gotten it. So the problem with envy, and I'm in Ephesians 5:5, for you may be sure of this, that anyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So what he's saying is covetousness is equivalent to idolatry. And the root of covetousness is a lack of gratitude. So as you're going through life, if you have cultivated hakaret hatov, which means finding the good in every circumstance, then you are insulating yourself from idolatry, essentially. The other thing that I'll say is we are designed to crave meaning in our lives. We would like to mean something, not just trudging through this, waiting for the grave at the other end. We'd like to have something that gives our lives meaning. And having something that gives your life meaning gives you a vehicle for gratitude, because you can see that your actions and the things that are happening to you have a purpose. So even the bad things you can be grateful for, because if nothing else, they're developing character. Nobody likes to have his character developed, by the way. Development of character is typically unpleasant. It just is. That's what the drill sergeant used to say all the time. But the fruits of that character development after the discomfort of going through that development are entirely worth the effort. So if your life has no meaning, it's very hard to be grateful. And I will suggest to you that one of the sicknesses of our society right now is a whole lot of people don't see any meaning in their lives. They're ungrateful, they're angry, they're bitter, and they have a hole in their soul. And that starts with not understanding their place in God's universe. And one of the things we've done, of course, is taken God out of our public square so that we're not reminded constantly. In fact, one of the things that's going on that's very fascinating is Louisiana has decided that they're going to post the Ten Commandments in all the places that they got taken out. And the usual suspects are up in arms and yelling and screaming. But the point is, the people who are yelling and screaming about it are afraid somebody will read them and follow them. The point is, having the things of God around you in the public square constantly, even if it's only subconscious, helps you maintain your sense of where you are, who you are, what your purpose is, and is an antidote to self-pity, malice, covetousness. It's an antidote to all those things. Now, one of the things that we had in today's readings, in Malachi again, God is yelling at the church. And Yeshua is doing the same thing. He's yelling at the religious establishment. What he is saying in all cases is you guys aren't doing your job. It starts off with you personally becoming bored with your job. This is just the same as it always has been. It doesn't matter. We'll give God whatever's left over. And Malachi says, try that with your governor. See how that works. The point that Malachi is making is the same point that Esau tripped up over. The immediate is the enemy of the eternal. Esau, I'm hungry. What do I care about my blessing? Or the priest, God will forgive us no matter what we do. So let's just go ahead and do it in a half-assed manner. And that, again, is the problem with the church in the United States today, or in the West today. They have lost their enthusiasm for the Word of God. They're going through the motions. And because of that, the people are suffering. And it all comes back to a lack of gratitude. So, as you're going through life, bad stuff's going to happen to you. Goes with the territory. You can't control that all the time. I mean, sometimes you can. If you can avoid doing stupid stuff, and that will get you out of a lot of trouble. But even if you're not doing stupid stuff, bad stuff will happen to everybody. It goes with the territory. You often don't have any control over that. What you do have control over is your attitude. Viktor Frankl, Holocaust survivor, he was in a concentration camp, and he said afterwards, "They took everything away from me, but the thing they couldn't take away from me is my attitude. They tried, but they couldn't take my attitude away from me. I get to decide what my attitude is." That his book, by the way, is wonderful, Man's Search for Meaning. But the point is, you have a choice over how you view your circumstances. If you choose to be focused on the immediate, like Esau was, what you're going to find is by the end of your life, things are not going to work very well. If, however, you choose to be grateful for what's going on and put the things in your life into perspective, where, as Paul says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, you can choose to look at your circumstances that way. And that will get you through the valleys to the next high point. Because emotions are designed to be cyclical. Nobody is happy all the time. Doesn't work that way. Emotions are transitory. They're designed that way. As I'm fond of saying, if that weren't the case, no woman would have more than one child. So the fact that things are cyclical is part of the deal. You can choose how you view those things in your life. And what I am suggesting to you is that you view those things in your life from a perspective of gratitude, and what you will then find is you will have joy. Joy flows from gratitude, not the other way around.